It was a year ago this last September, in fact, Friday night, September 15th, where we had our first large banquet in this brand new renovated old sanctuary area, now multi-purpose area. And we launched an initiative called Give Forward. We've had a very active time as a church family over the last 3 years. We've built the Fusion Youth Center across the street you just saw. We've renovated this facility that is being used so much. It's really, I'm just amazed at the many faceted uses that this facility has had. It's been so versatile. It's exceeded my expectations. We renovated 4 levels of children's classroom space right behind me, from basement, all our preschool areas, all the way up to the 3rd floor. And we also done repairs on roofs, and we've done repairs on stone out front. And it's been a massive undertaking. And we are just excited about all these wonderful tools. I'm so personally grateful as a pastor for your vision to want to move into the future, things that were very clearly critical steps for us to really continue to grow. And now we've just been adding just large numbers of people, even this last year, to the life of our church, partly because of these wonderful new facilities. And it was a year ago this month that we had our first Give Forward banquet and met in here, and you made commitments to help us. We owe a little over $4 million on all of these facilities, and you'd already given about $1 million in cash, and we made commitments for 12 months, and I'm excited. We just have had very faithful, steady participation, and over this last 12 months, from that first banquet on September 15th up through last Sunday, we have given $325,000. $325,710, literally. And that's been incredible. And that's above continuing to grow our missions giving, and our tithes and offerings to the general fund has grown this year on top of that. And we're just so grateful for what Give Forward has allowed us to do. It's allowed us to bridge on our building payments between what we're budgeting out of our general fund and what is happening through the life of what you give, and allowing us to take our regular funds in the church and keep absorbing more and more outreach opportunities as we move forward as a church. So I wanted to say, way to go. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for the great generosity of this last year. I think that's amazing. $325,710.04, literally, exactly, up through last Sunday morning. We keep track of every penny you give. And with those dollars and pennies have come prayer and thousands of hours of volunteer ministry, because these tools have been tools for our volunteers to really move. That's you, and we appreciate it. I'm so glad you're here tonight on this wonderful evening. We're going to be talking about where we're headed next. And first of all, I'd like to just do something that'll take about 5 minutes, and I'd like to just encourage you around your tables to introduce yourself to one another in this way. I would like to talk to you. I would like you to just, if people around your table don't know your name, be sure to give your name. And then I'd like you to just share with everyone else at the table how long you've been coming to Central Assembly and how it was you first discovered this church family. For Sandy and me, that was 4 years ago, last month we came. And I first discovered this church family in more of a personal way when you invited me to come to pastor this church. I'll always remember Dr. George Wood, our interim pastor, calling me on behalf of the board, and then Glenn Burnett, who was chairing the search committee, calling me a second call, follow-up call, asking if we might be willing to make the hardest decision of our lives, because it was so hard to leave where we were. But I have no regrets. We have just been delighted to be here with you. So that took about 30 seconds. That's all you'll about have. Just how long you've been at the church and how you first, maybe who invited you or how you first came to Central Assembly. All right? I'd like the youngest person at your table to start. I know it's a dangerous question, but the youngest person, and then go to the right, okay? Go around to the right. Yes, Lord, you are great. Amen, Lord, you are great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We get to know you because of your love. You're great enough to forgive all our sin. You're great enough to fill us with your resurrection spirit. Thank you. Thank you for building your church. You said, Lord, that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Thank you, you're great enough that you're still keeping that promise 2,000 years later. And we love you, Lord. And thank you for our friends. Thank you for people of the family of God all around us. How great you are today, Lord. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow, good to hear you sing. How great our God is. Amen. You may be seated. Just before we get into things tonight and I share a quick scripture with you and we talk about where we're going, the next steps, I don't think on a Sunday morning we ever followed through to our community run, but on Saturday morning, September 1st, we had we did a 5K run and people from around the city came and joined us and many of you came and ran with us, and I just want to appreciate. I think we raised $3,000 or something like that for our community outreach. It was a great day. We hope to do that again. And Coach Hansen, who coaches the CBC Central Bible College basketball team, you know, he had all his guys out there. He made them all come, and he said, "If Pastor beats any of you, you're in big trouble." So I met them all before the race. For me, short as I am, I felt like I was in the land of the giants. And I thought, oh, man, no way. But I did hear that there were rumors around campus that I almost beat one guy on the team. And they were giving him, I mean, he beat me by 5 seconds, but they were giving him grief all the next week around CBC. So we're hoping to get out and run through the community again next year and do all that stuff. Pastor Mike and many other people helped to put that together. Dan Van Veen from headquarters next door, and it was just a great time. And we never mentioned this morning, but this Saturday, a lot of the leaders from Pregnancy Care Center are part of our church family, and they're having their Walk for Life. I'm going to be walking. In fact, for the first year, I'm taking sponsors. If anyone wants to sponsor me, I'm not going to run, but I'll walk with everybody in the Walk for Life this Saturday morning. I read a scripture in our Philippians series, early in the series. We've been doing a Bible study on Sunday mornings out of Philippians. And in verse 12 of chapter 1, Paul said, "Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." What had happened to him wasn't much pleasant. He had given up a lot. He had lost everything. He'd gotten beaten up several times in prison. But he says, "I want you to know, in spite of everything it has cost me personally, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." I love Youth with a Mission's motto, to know him and to make him known. And that morning, I challenged all of us to make Jesus' mission our purpose in life. That whatever it costs us, to see the gospel of Jesus Christ advance, that others may know Jesus as well. To make that mission our purpose in life. And that's partly why we are right now walking through a multi-year process by which we are looking at how we can move forward over a five-year period from the year 2006 to the year 2010 in building. And we're trying to follow Jesus' pattern. He always starts with people. People like you, me, us together, people. He spent his 3 years in his ministry on earth, gathering people, training them. So last year was our year of the volunteer, as I mentioned this morning, in which we tried to do things, some of them behind the scenes, and then some things up front, giving visibility to the fact that you don't need to be a pastor to be a minister. Everyone's called to minister. And then this year is the year of the Spirit. Because after Jesus had mentored and pulled his disciples together, then he said, "Don't you dare do anything for me until you're clothed with power from on high." And at the day of Pentecost, he poured his Spirit upon them. That's the next step. And this has been our 100th anniversary. Who will forget June 1st, Friday night, June 1st of this year, where 100 years to the day that we trace back our history, when Lily Corum was baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that great banquet we had, place filled like tonight. And what a memorable night we had as we launched our anniversary weekend. This has been the year of the Spirit, our 100th anniversary, our 100th anniversary year. Now as we move forward, we are going into the year of outreach in 2008, which is very much our focus tonight. And then in 2009, we're going to follow that, Lord willing, with the year of missions. Missions, plural, in the sense of world missions. Year of outreach, we really like to focus on our city. Year of missions, we'd like to see what we can do together as a church family on a global nature that will have nothing to do with, and in any way we benefit ourselves. It's purely giving away so that we can do something on a global nature to advance the gospel around the world. I mean, who knows what we could do? Wouldn't it be fun to, I don't know, build a Bible college in every continent of the world, or plant a church in every region of the world or something. But I believe we could do something extraordinary and just send even numbers of, a lot of us overseas in missions trips. We're going to have Year of Missions in 2009. 2010, so you're going to be seeing more bricks in the future. 2010 will be the year of expansion. Pastor, what's the year of expansion? I'm not sure yet. Except that I believe that the Lord is going to want us to take some brand new steps in expanding. I think some of that will involve church planting and other things that we're going to be doing both here and globally. So we are on a track. We say, you know what? It's going to cost us something. But like Paul says, I want you to know that no matter what it's cost me, that cost is causing the advance of the gospel around the world. And that is the mission that defines my purpose in life. That's just is. I'm very excited about that. And I feel like right here, as we're getting ready, finishing off the year of Spirit and into the year of outreach, that we are coming to what I believe is a real breakthrough year for us. I somehow sense in my spirit that this is a year to get over some next hurdles. We're ready to take some next steps. I feel like this next year may involve more faith and more risk than we've taken as a congregation before. And we I think, are ready for our next steps in the year of outreach. I call this the breakthrough year, breakthrough year. And I want to invite you tonight to first of all pray and then partner and pledge as a participating congregation. If you are a part of where we are going together, see, we can't do this alone, but we're going together. We have a wonderful multi-generational church family. We're solid. God's put his favor on us. We just had a visitor this morning in the church, and they left service and said, I just feel like, boy, God's really got his hand on this church for some reason. I mean, even outsiders can sense that. And we on the inside, I hope we always keep our eyes on that. You know, we can kind of get used to things, but God is, I believe this is our breakthrough year. And I want to invite you, first of all, to pray. And we, to finish up the year of the year of the Spirit, beginning 2 weeks from today, we would like to launch a 40-day season of prayer, of fasting, and of seeking God. It's going to begin on October 14th, Sunday, October 14th, 2 weeks from today. And exactly 40 days later will take us to Thanksgiving Day. I thought that's the best day in the world to end a prayer season. Hallelujah. And you can eat. You don't have to fast as much that day. We got to be thankful for that. And thankful that God's heard our prayers. I'd like to invite you as a congregation to a season of setting things aside and giving ourselves to prayer. We'll have prayer focuses every week and possibly section of meetings. It's been a few months since we've had Sunday night healing services, and we're going to be having some of those during this season. We're just going to set ourselves apart to seeking the Lord, to praying, to following him. Now, I asked my 17-year-old daughter, Angeline, who's in a senior at Kickapoo High School, I asked her permission if I could share this story. We were driving home one Wednesday night, and she had been in youth. I'd been leading the prayer meeting here, and we were in the process early this past summer of looking for a new youth pastor because Pastor Travis and Leanne had taken a ministry position in California. We were looking for a youth pastor, and I said to Angeline as we were driving down National, I said, Angeline, what do you think we need in a youth pastor? And she said, oh, Dad, she said, there could be a lot of things, but we need one thing more than anything else. He's got to be full of the Holy Spirit. He said, because I just believe, she said, God is going to do something really big. And then she said, in fact, Dad, she never told this before, she said, a few nights ago, I had a dream. And in this dream, I was in this auditorium about the size of a gymnasium, and it was full of teenagers and young people. And she said, as we were there, the power of God fell on us. And she said, in my dream, I could feel the power of God go right through me. And in fact, teenagers around me, some of them couldn't even stay standing on their feet as the power of God just came down. She said, Dad, God wants to do that. And just this afternoon, I was saying, Angela, would you be okay if I shared that dream? I don't want you to be self-conscious. Share that dream with everybody. She said, oh, it's okay, Dad, because God's giving other of us, other young people I know, he's giving them visions of the fire of God coming down in Springfield, and it's spreading all over our country. And I believe that's going to happen. And as we bring the last third of our year of the Spirit to conclusion, I'll tell you, I'll go to the front of the line saying, I don't know how to lead this church any farther than we've come in my own energy. I know that the breakthroughs, what God wants to do in our city, is going to take nothing short of the power of Jesus Christ coming. And the way of the Spirit is paved through prayer and seeking. As kind of as we humble ourselves and repent and seek God and make sure in this 40 days that if we have anything against any other believer or any other human being, we've asked forgiveness and built bridges and righted wrongs if we need to, if Jesus is asking us to do that. And that we've humbled ourselves and we've set aside sometimes books or TV or food to fast and to seek God and to say, Lord, we are hungry. We want you to finish what you've started in us. So that's, first of all, I want to invite you to prayer. We're going to begin this great prayer initiative 2 weeks from today. And it'll go all the way through Thanksgiving Day. It's going to be great. And then I'd like to invite you to partner with us. Not just to pray, but to partner with us. And our partnership will begin at taking some next steps in our outreach into the community. This has been just so encouraging to me. This is what I brag about when I go other places and brag about Central Assembly, this church that I love. You have taken major steps into the community, and God's given us great favor. All through the Grant Beach community and the after-school programs, we would like to begin in our year of outreach on every second Saturday morning, beginning in February of next year, every second Saturday of the month, every second Saturday, we'd like to have what we call a community connection day on that Saturday morning. We'd like to take our growing Adopt-A-Block ministry. We really have like something like 80 volunteers already. And what if we had on Saturday morning like 350, 400 people that would give from 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock or 9:30 to noon? If all of us went out and we take our oil change ministry that Bruce Navely's leading here, and they're trying to broaden the ministry to single moms, a whole bunch of things happen. They'll be doing that on Saturday mornings. Adopt a block. We have teams adopting one block that they visit every month and learn, find out how to pray for people, see if we can get their kids to Sunday school, see if they need food. And we're going to continue after school programs and food pantry ministry during the week. But then we'd like to add, our youth leaders are talking about getting our teenagers ministering to children in our community on Saturday mornings, give regular monthly outreach opportunities for our teenagers as they're experiencing God's grace and power, passing it on, giving it away. Community outreach days. We're calling them Community Connection Saturdays. We're going to begin those in February. You will be always mentioning it the week before. This coming Saturday's our Community Connection Saturday. And then from Community Connection Saturdays, we'd like to take some next steps in a major way, and this, I think, is the riskiest thing we're going to do next year. We'd like to take some next steps in friendship evangelism next year. In essence, what we're going to do, we feel God's asking us to do, is in the year of outreach to take a lot of our intentional outreach from the church's neighborhood, strengthen it and continue it, but take it from the church's neighborhood to all of our neighborhoods around the city. Because obviously God wants us to reach the whole city. I feel because the widows, the orphans, the at-risk children, the hungry, that's always God's priority. I believe it's been right we start with our neighbors here in terms of the church's physical location. But the next step is to take ministry from our church's neighborhood to every one of our personal neighborhoods. Friendship evangelism. We like in the first half of the year to begin just bringing more resources. In fact, next Sunday night, a pastor friend of mine from Montana is going to be speaking here Sunday night, and he's going to be speaking out of a great experience and gifting he has in friendship evangelism and leading a congregation in this way. In the new year, we're hoping to bring more resources to help us think about how am I carving out time? How do I build a friendship with a non-Christian in my life? And how do I keep it going forth? And then we'd like to maybe have times, you know, sometimes we make the mistake of preaching before we have a backyard barbecue. You know, we need to build bridges of relationship. We need to build those bridges, build friendships that create the platform for that. So in the first half of the year, we may occasionally have times where we're saying, hey, as many of you as can, as we're trying to apply this, at building bridges to non-Christians, let's on this particular Friday or Saturday night, let's around the city have backyard barbecues. This is just invite everybody on the street, and whether they're Christian or not, and you know, there's no preaching, no Bible study, just relationship building, just doing that. We're going to begin praying for non-Christians we want to build. I've joined Rotary recently, and I'm trying to build networks to people in the business community. We're trying to do things like this. And then on Sundays, like our Easters, our July 4th, and occasional other Sundays, we'd like to design Sunday mornings which you can know are specially designed for you to bring those friends to and invite them if they'll come with you. And so we're going to be having some special, like, friends and family Sundays where specifically you're inviting them to come. And then in the fall, we may do some things like, ideally, we'd like to see 50 homes open up next fall that would do something like 40 days of purpose, which is kind of like a Bible study for 5.5 weeks in your home, where you just invite the people in your neighborhood you've been building relationship with, or maybe something else. We may be doing something bigger in the city next fall too, and we're going to try to be a little more visible in the city as we move forward. All of these things are part of saying, you know what, we're going to take some next steps with the non-Christians that God's put around us. I know that may be a little, maybe very honest with you, that may be a little disappointing for you, because you maybe prefer we just do as a church 2 huge events in the city and hope people show up. The problem is, this is a unique city to do evangelism in. I had lunch with a guy the other day who started a little Bible study with 6 people, and he said, no one can come to my Bible study unless they bring unchurched people with them that don't go to church and don't follow Jesus. And he made that the condition to build his Bible study. He's now got 75 people on his hands. He said, my wife is a nurse at Cox. She's got 7 of the nurses coming with her. But she said, you know what? And he confirmed all my suspicions, because I started really picking his brain. Because in a city like Springfield, he gave me a new word. It's my new favorite word. He said, there are unchurched people, but he said, our study is full of de-churched people. You know, they used to go to church, but they've all been turned off by something. They got hurt in church, or it's boring, or they went to a church where the pastor preached 1 hour and 15 minutes and said nothing, and you know, and they just turned it off. It just did nothing for them. And then he said, they use the old example, yeah, but those church people are all hypocrites. And I just say to them, well, you know what? Most of your friends are probably hypocrites too. And they go, yeah, you're probably right, come to think of it. But he said, I have all these people, and they tell me all their stories. And he said, that's the larger percentage of people that are on church, that are coming. They're de-church. They all have stories of why they hate church. And he said, in this city, he said, you can do big things, but they're not going to show up for it. They have too much stuff. He said, the key is if you can build a personal relationship with that person and they come to trust you personally. And even there, that doesn't guarantee anything, but I believe if we combine prayer and fasting and the time to build networks with non-Christians, I believe that some of those people will so come to trust and have such need in their life that they may be willing to come under the exposure of the gospel of Jesus Christ in an authentic, real, life-changing way. I just believe it's possible. I know this is considered a very hard city to do evangelism in, but I don't give up. I believe that this is our greatest risk. And partly it's our greatest risk because it'll be all of us doing this together. I mean, nothing might happen. I suppose that's possible. But I just want to invite you to faith-filled prayer and partnership that God's going to do that. Thirdly, we would like to see a satellite service. So we're saying Community Connection Saturdays. We're saying a friendship evangelism. The next year we'd also like to launch a brand new service called a satellite service, for lack of a better word. Right now we're looking at doing it in our new youth center, the Fusion Center. I've had this vision in my mind since we first built that building, that at 10:30 Sunday morning, concurrent, we'll not touch our services here. 9 and 10:30, just like we have, they've been growing. Our 9 o'clock's really growing. Often now our 10 is pretty full. Our 10:30 service is pretty full. Although just yet we're not doing it only for space needs. We're doing it more for missional needs. We're also not doing it for preference needs, that you get to go to a service that, depending on your preference, you may or may not like a little more. But it's going to be a different style. It's going to be more contemporary and casual and really targeted towards young professionals in our community. Numbers of you tell me that our Sunday morning services, some of you say, you know, these are great, I bring my friends. But I've heard enough that some of you aren't totally comfortable. We're a little, I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, we're multi-generational, so we've got to sort of be in the middle somewhere. And there are some people who don't come to Central because they consider us way too contemporary. We have a larger group of people who maybe consider us way too traditional, and they say, I don't know, we'll relate. It's a little formal. It's a little, I love what we do Sunday morning. We're going to keep doing it because there's a broad group of people, and it's right for many people. But one size fits all may not be what it takes to really meet the needs of our city. We're going to start to do things to play more, to reach more towards the edges, and people that what we're doing right now is not going to reach them. So we're going to do something Sunday mornings at 10:30 next door. We can get up to 350 people in there. This much more casual probably in its style and more contemporary than maybe what we do worship-wise. And then, however, we're going to, assuming we can get the equipment and work out the amazing technology now, then the message from the 10:30 service in the auditorium will be beamed over. And so that will keep us together as a church family. Whoever's speaking on Sunday morning will be speaking to everybody. And I feel like if we could get the technology to do this and get the bugs worked out and really start a creatively new service to broaden our outreach. You know, there's lofts being built. There's a whole revitalization of the downtown area. There's young professionals all over our city that I believe could be reached. And again, this is not just a service so I can have a choice as a Christian, but if you become a part of that from our main services, we hope that you'll become a part of the core. You'll not go without making sure you really reach out to people because you're there on a mission, and we want to have room in there for it to grow with people. We think we could maybe add 100, 200 people who are just looking for something that more relates to what they're hungry for and meets them right where they are. And so we're going to do that, Lord willing, and begin that. We don't know exactly when. It's quite a job to put all this together. Maybe by Easter we'll launch it, or for sure at the very latest next fall, but I'm very excited about this. And then I believe that'll position us. Remember 2010, year of expansion? I believe this could position us to start, if we can work out the bugs and get the equipment, to start satellite locations around the city. Where, you know, they're tied into the church through the message, but it's different ways. We may even want, you know, if there's a center with a lot of maybe senior adults, maybe we want to do something where the service is much more traditional and yet the message is coming through that everybody's getting. And this allows us options. And as far as I know, I don't think there's any churches in Springfield. Some churches like James River have been doing outright church plants, but I don't know of any churches that have actually been doing that are doing satellite kinds of venues. This is something God's been blessing around the world. We've done some, and around our country. And you know what? I suppose eventually we could have a satellite in Southern California. Who knows? Or Montana. I mean, with the technology these days, you can do anything. People pick up our podcast. You realize we have people downloading our services now from every continent of the world. We nearly 20,000 people now downloading podcasts around the world from our Sunday morning service. The technology, even that's come into place in the last 3 years, is unbelievable, and it's creating some great new missional tools. I would like to see us as a church seize hold of these new missional technological tools, add prayer and fasting and faith and loving people and inviting people, and let's see who we can reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm excited about that. I think we could do it. So, pray, partner, and pledge. Pledge. Here comes the good part, folks. Hallelujah. Last year, we tried to get a lot of people involved. We had about 365 individuals or families contribute to give forward. That $325,000, about 365 individual giving units were a part of that. And we are so grateful for you. And we tried to get just a lot of people giving on a monthly basis. This year, I want to challenge you. My wife and I are going to be really joining in this as we are able this year. We would like to, rather than set the kind of goal we set last year, which was right for this last 12 months. We have felt that this year we'd just like to take one goal only. Just one goal. It's a numeric goal. And we'd like to aim this year, instead of $325,000, we'd like to aim at $500,000 this year. $500,000. I believe we could go well over that. But $500,000 as we come to a breakthrough year. And here's the uniqueness of this pledge goal. First of all, half of it, $250,000, will go where all of our giving this last year has gone. It's gone to our building payments. And the more you give above your missions and tithes, the more we can, you know, we give out of our general fund to our building payments. They're $30,000 a month. And the Fed just reduced our, the Fed funds rate to which our mortgage is attached. So we just had a 0.5% drop in our interest rate. Isn't that wonderful? Kent and DeVries was estimating we'll save $18,000 next year. So pray for a couple of more rate cuts on top of it. But that $250,000 will help us. Will help us without taking outreach money from our general fund to pay more towards. That'll help us keep some of our general fund money also going to building payments and the rest going to outreach and the ministries we enjoy from week to week. Half of it going to that. But we'd like to do a dollar-for-dollar thing this year. For every $1 that goes to building payments, we would take $1 that would go through what I call breakthrough needs right now, to help us get over the hurdle and into this next year of outreach. Breakthrough needs involve things like, I want to get my list to make sure I get it in the right order. First of all, to pull off a satellite service, plus you've noticed our audiovisual stuff, our projectors are slowly deteriorating in the sanctuary. We think we could just bundle a bunch of things together. It might cost us upwards of $70,000, $80,000 to get the new cameras and the technology to do satellite service venues. But if we get this, then it opens up all kinds of possibilities for us in the next few years in ways that other churches, I think we can fit a part that other churches aren't filling in the city over the next few years. So that alone could cost $75,000 to $100,000. And then we would like to look at finishing the renovation of the platform. And right now we just have a scrim up there, but we'd like to, you know, we've been talking about this for a couple of years. We just really need to, it's over 15 years old. We really need to renovate it and to get the more long-term look we want to have there. Our building fund project, when we built this area and the youth center and the Sunday school space, it didn't quite cover those things. Plus, we have deferred maintenance issues. I probably went out of order there, but deferred maintenance issues. And we just there's a few things. We've had ongoing roof leaks, and so we've added that to our building fund indebtedness. But we don't want to take on any more indebtedness. We've got more roof leaks we just need to address just because of the age of the newer parts of our buildings now. We have air conditioning problems up in this area that we were not aware of when we renovated the Sunday school areas, and we're probably needing to address some of that. We have various kinds of issues like that I think we can get our hands around in a wonderful way. And so for every dollar that's given towards the building program, we'd like to take a dollar and apply to those kinds of need. We also are maybe looking at backup power generation. We have some pumps in the basement, and we've had 2 floods this last year. Our insurance company's eventually wanting us to get our own backup system. Things like that, though, unfortunately, aren't cheap, and they're hard to find in the general fund where we have a lot of fixed expenses. You know, backup power is going to be $45,000. But if we had it, too, then when we have disasters like the ice storm, then we could open this place. See, we were down when we could have been open for our city. And so if we could get on top of some of those things. And then on top of that, we'd like to eventually put, like, seating areas in our foyer. And we've been talking about redecorating the foyer to make it warmer for people that are coming in our year of outreach, and as well as signage. As you know, we still need signage out there, and these are hard. These are a little bit bigger ticket items that are just hard. We felt like if we could raise $500,000 this year in the next 12 months, that it would allow us to meet all our building payments and continue to meet those payments and keep paying down the principal. And on the other side, it would help us just get over some of these hurdles that we are just, that if we had the resources, we could this year break through, we could get over the hurdles and have a place where we're inviting people to church and start working with satellite services and all these wonderful things, and allow our general fund, non-building fund money to keep going, because we just keep stretching it as more and more outreaches are happening, more and more evangelism. We want to make sure we still got money in our general fund for outreaches. So as this other comes in, if we could raise $500,000 in the next 12 months, we could get over the top and I think really prepare ourselves for the future. And that's the challenge for us. Now on your table, I'd like somebody to reach out. There's two things on your table that are bound up in elastic bands. I'd like to take someone to take the elastic bands off and take them around. In a few minutes, we're going to have a give forward offering tonight. We'll have another one next Sunday morning. I'm going to be summarizing this very briefly next Sunday morning. We'll take another give forward offering if you're not ready to give tonight. And we're going to have several of these this year. Unlike last year, as we make it our goal to reach $500,000, we're going to have periodically give forward second offerings on Sunday morning. But here's the pledge card. I'd like you to take that. And the pledge card on the left-hand side, vision, celebration, pray, partner, and pledge is exactly what I've been talking about. Pray, partner, and pledge. And on the right-hand side, for you to tear off and hopefully put in the offering basket with your offering tonight, is your pledge commitment. I'd like you to take a look at that small part just for a moment. My breakthrough commitment, as the Lord provides over the next 12 months, I pledge over and above my regular tithes and missions giving. Now we put two choices. You only fill in one or the other box. Many of you are saying, Pastor, I want to keep or increase my, I've liked that idea we did last year, just monthly pledges. I think better monthly. It's not as overwhelming. And if you have a sense of how much you want to give monthly, you can just fill in the monthly part. Sandy and I haven't divided 12 into what we're going to give, so I don't know what it is a month. But we have already discussed a commitment that we want to make. We gave, to be honest, several thousand dollars personally last year to give forward. And this year, we're coming at the highest expense time in our lives right now. By next fall, we're going to have two girls in college and a private school, full tuition. It's expensive time. And on top of that, there are some things that we wanted to do around our house and furniture and things that came to a fairly good sum of money. And Sandy and I decided this is more important than that. Now, we're going to send our girls to college, but the furniture. I just clarify that. The furniture, the renovation of part of our house is going to have to wait because this is too important. Because we want to take a substantial amount more money than we gave last year. We are very serious. We believe we can get across a hurdle. I think $500,000 could be minimal for us. And, you know, as I went through the breakthrough needs, you know, obviously we need 50% more now. We need $400,000 probably to cover just the breakthrough needs. But, you know, we could get there, you know. But I just believe that this year we can do something. Sandy and I are taking this very seriously. We're giving sacrificially. And and I would like to challenge you. I'd like to challenge specifically two groups of people. You're newer or younger. You know what? And we've done this for your kids. We've done this. And, you know, you may not feel a lot of ownership, but you've come. Many of you become members just in the last year. And, you know, you're part of who we are now. You're part of where we're going. And we need your help. And you've not maybe been committed in the past because you're new. Or maybe you're younger, but now you're getting in a time, you don't have a lot of money anyway, but there's something you can do because you feel a part of where you're going. The other group I want to challenge are those of you who have the gift of giving. There are some of you who could give substantially more than even Sandy and I are going to give. And some of you might be able to write half this off in one check. I don't know. But you know what? This is your year. And I know there's tons of places to give, but I just believe in the local church. And, you know, I've fretted and prayed and all that stuff, but I just believe in the future of what we're doing. And I just challenge you, if you're able, because you have a gift of giving and God's resourced you in extraordinary ways, this would be the year for some larger gifts if God would give that, put that in your heart. Often I don't know who gives what. We're not going to check up on you. We're not going to send you a letter if you're behind on your pledge. This is between you and God. But I want to invite you to a great year of breakthrough and outreach. I believe this could be the greatest year we have. Ultimately not because of money, but because of Jesus and the people he loves and the people he wants to reach by the power of his Spirit. But we need to pull together as a church family and make it happen. And I think it's a very exciting opportunity. I'm very excited about giving money to this next year. I'm going to ask Glenn Burnett, who chairs our vice chair of our board, if Glenn, you'll come and take this mic here and you'll just lead us in prayer. And then there'll just be a little background music. And we're going to leave 3 or 4 or 5 minutes just for you to think and pray and fill out a pledge card. And then your offering, you can use this envelope if you need it, your offering. Or if you have your offering in a regular envelope like I do, regular church envelope, you can put it into the pouch along with the small part of your pledge card. And then take this and put it on your refrigerator, put it in your Bible. Pray, partner, pledge as God gives us grace to pull together and see what God might do in our city.
Father, we thank you now this evening for your love to us. Lord, we thank you for what you've allowed us to do here at Central. We thank you for the facilities that we've been able to build. And Lord, we focus now on how we're going to use these facilities. And so, Lord, help us in all of these outreach ministries, Lord, that we can touch those not only around this church, but throughout the community. And so bless us now as we look to the need that we have to allow this church to move forward in outreach. So bless our giving. Lord, may you help each one of us to hear what you're telling us, what our part will be. And so bless us all collectively as we share in this ministry. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take the next few moments. We're going to have closure just for a few minutes after you're done. I'd like to invite you all to stand with me if you would, and you still need to work with your pledge card, your offering. You'll have a moment. We thank you for responding. I apologize. I didn't clarify the question. It was just asked me, like, does this start in January or this month? Our last 12-month commitment ends in September, and so this begins. This will be another September or October through next September. So you don't need to wait to January to start giving, obviously, and because we need to run up time. Your generosity and this 12-month commitment from September, from tonight through the end of September of next year. I'd like us to sing, if the musicians could come. I'd like us to sing a song that just invites the Holy Spirit to come, and then we're going to close. I'd like to lead you in a few minutes of prayer. I'd like us to sing. It's a simple song. It's a song we sing often here. It just says, come, Holy Spirit, we need you. There's something about those words that just are kind of the bottom line of my prayer life. Holy Spirit, I need you. Would you come? And I'd like to invite you just to sing it as a prayer, and then we're just going to cap the evening by just raising our voices and lifting our hearts to the Lord and seeking Him tonight. So let's begin by singing this prayer. I'd like you just to join hands with somebody around your table, just for a moment as we close. Father, we thank you for the family of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you that we can be one in Christ, one in you. Lord, we join hands with our brothers and our sisters, and we thank you that you have called us together as a church family in this city at this moment. Lord, we feel holy things happening as we pledge our hearts and our partnership and our faith and our money to you tonight. Lord, we feel holy things happening because you are building your church. And Lord, we thank you for this year of the Spirit and the year of outreach ahead of us. Lord, would you just strengthen the person on each side of us? I pray you'll open doors into the hearts of unbelievers, Lord, over these next year, Lord. I pray that you'll put into their heart a hunger for you and a spirit of prayer. I pray you'll protect them from the enemy and lift them up, Lord. We just pray for that one on our right and our left. My God, strengthen our brothers and sisters in you. And my God, as a church family, we ask, Lord, that you will strengthen our hands to do your work. Lord, the risks, the needs, Lord, the opportunities, they all come together, Lord, in this moment of faith. And we ask, we're not sufficient, but we ask your Holy Spirit to fill us as a church like never before. My God, may auditoriums full of teenagers have the power of God fall on them in Jesus' name. Have people who are de-churched and unchurched. And let the barriers and hardness and hurt be broken. And let them again find Jesus by the power of God. Lord, advance our way. Let us see a breakthrough in every church in our city this next year, Lord. Breakthrough at James River and breakthrough at Parkcrest and Praise Assembly. Breakthrough at Second Baptist Church and First Baptist. My God, breakthrough around our city in the name of Jesus by the power of God. We ask that, Lord, you will touch us. Lord, may here people come from the east and the west and the north and the south. May people find here life. May they find salvation. May they find power to live. May they be filled with the Holy Spirit and healed and delivered. May they find friends and partnership and purpose and ministry in this place, we pray. Oh, let the fountains of life be stirred up from our midst. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in the special way that only you can come. We pray that you will do this by the power of your Spirit. And we give you praise. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Amen. Just lift your hands to him. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise for what you want to shake loose in the spiritual realm and what you want to bring to the ground in ministry and life and transformed hearts. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. What a family you've been tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you for giving. Thank you for being a part of the future. Finish up the food and stay as long as you want. The Lord bless you.